Joshua, God's man for God's time. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That sounds interesting. If you are wondering, that was Steve Brown and I'm Mike Kellogg. The program is Key Life. Relevant vital principles about stuffiness and nonsense. Now here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope that your pastor was as faithful and as good in his sermon as mine was. If you're just joining us after not being here for a long time or ever being here, you need to know that what we're doing is that we're in the process of a many, many week study of the Old Testament. And what we're doing, we're not doing line upon line and verse upon verse and precept upon precept. What we're doing, taking each book of the Old Testament, spending a little bit of time in it, and then I'm showing you some really good stuff in the Old Testament, because most Christians really are not into that much. And that's a shame. We're losing a major part of our heritage. And so this week, and probably today, we're up to the book of Joshua. I'm going to spend a little bit more time and show you one more thing from the book of Deuteronomy, and then I'll begin to introduce you to the book of Joshua. And then we'll do that this week, and then next week, if it's all right with you, and I suspect it is, and it's my program, so I'm not going to take a vote. Next week, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about some Christmas stuff. We're going to spend all next week talking about Christmas things built around the theme of Christmas, the incarnation of God in Christ. And then Monday is Christmas Day. And I really can't look at Joshua on Christmas Day. I mean, there's no way. So what we'll do on Monday is a surprise. I'm either going to do a traditional Christmas story that I've told you before. We may do that. I also have this great thing that you would love by John Gager at Moody's, little girl when she was four, doing a Christmas story that you might love. But whatever, we'll do something special on Christmas Day, and all next week we'll talk about Christmas themes, and we'll kind of at least dip our toe into the pool of Joshua over most of this week. Before we get to all of that, let's go before the throne. Father, we're glad we belong to you, glad that you found us, and glad that you promised to get us home before the dark. It's the in-between times sometimes, Father, that is really hard. There are tough places we have to go and things we got to do we don't want to do. And people we got to be with we don't want to be with. And there are places that you have called us to minister in your name. And we've got to be Jesus in those places, and it's hard. So, Father, come alongside and dry our tears and bind up our broken heart and send us where you want us to go. And, Father, if the tears cause us to see you better, and it's only with hesitancy that we ask this, but may we continue to cry. And if our broken heart keeps us close to you, may it remain broken. Father, we confess that we're not good, but we're yours, and you love us anyway, and we're thankful. Now, Father, not only forgive us, but change us and make us more like Jesus. You know the pain a lot of people who are listening to this broadcast are going through. Meet them as the great physician and grant them emotional and physical healing. And then, Father, as we study your word today on Key Life, we pray for the teacher that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see the teacher, even Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the book of Deuteronomy, and we introduced it, and it was the final book, by the way, of the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Bible. We looked at the number of themes in Deuteronomy, four themes. We looked at the central verses that describe and define and point to what Deuteronomy is all about. It's Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13, and then we looked at the four major themes in the book of Deuteronomy. We saw first theme is a God who is involved and who leads. The second, we looked at leadership, a man who cares and who leads. We looked at a vision to be passed. And then we looked also at a promise to be cherished. And we saw that God has promised a lot of things to Israel. And if he lied to them, he'll lie to you, but he hasn't. In 1948, when the nation began, people said, son of a gun. In my library, I have a systematic theology. And this may be one of the finest one-volume systematic theology ever written by Burkhoff. And if you read Burkhoff having to do with Israel, he is really heavy on Jews are no longer a part of the land. They're all over the world, the diaspora. And he says that God is now dealing with his covenant people, the new Israel, not Jews. And I remember reading that and thinking, gosh, where is he? And then I realized he wrote his systematic theology before 1948, when God started doing his things. Well, I don't want to go too much in that. Then I became a tour director showing you some of the sites. Deuteronomy 9 and 10, 9, Moses rehearses Israel's rebellion. And then in chapter 10, Moses rehearses God's mercy and his love. And we saw that we're bad, but God is always good. Always. And then we looked at, I don't know, I've got little markers here in my Bible. I don't know what else we looked at. I forget. But what I want to do, there were a couple of other things we examined. I'm doing the best I can. But if you've got your Bible, open it to the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy. It's a very interesting chapter, and let me tell you why. Because if you've ever read the 19th chapter of Matthew, that's the place where the guys come to Jesus, and they say to him, Moses allowed divorce. Now, what do you say? Now, they were trying to trap him, to be really honest with you, and Jesus handled that quite well. And if I had time, I would go into some a word study in that chapter of Matthew, because it's quite interesting. Jesus uses two words to refer to divorce. However, what I want to do before we leave Deuteronomy is to go back to the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy and show you the reference to which they were referring when they talked about Moses allowing divorce. It's the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife. Now, that goes on and on. You might want to read it sometime when you have a little bit of time. But let me tell you something that's really interesting about that passage. First is the certificate of divorce. Let me tell you something that was going on in the time of Moses. And for those of you who have a bent toward women's rights, you're going to like what I'm about to say. In the time when Moses wrote, and in fact, in the time when Jesus wrote, you know, guys had it made. And by the way, it is the Bible that has been the rootage of the value of women. Don't you think it came from now? It doesn't. It comes from the Bible. And at any rate, the guys, if you didn't like your wife, you didn't have to go to court. You didn't have to go to one of these settlements. You didn't have to do anything. You just had to say, I divorce you, and kick her out of the house. And it was a real divorce. That's what they were doing at the time when Moses wrote, and also at the time when Jesus referred to this particular issue. It was called a putting away. That's the formal name for it. And you just kind of put your wife out in the garage, and she was still your wife, but you were no longer her husband. So you go marry anybody you wanted to, but she couldn't. You know why? Because she was still married to you, even though you weren't married to her. And so how was she going to live if she went out and the only option she had in those days was to become a prostitute or to become somebody's mistress? And that's what Jesus was talking about when he's talking about adultery. Now, you need to know that what Moses was talking about and what Jesus referred to was women's value, women's rights. Moses said, in effect, and Jesus said, in effect, you turkeys. Male ego is so big. What in the world are you doing? That is so ungodly. If a divorce takes place, you make sure that she has a certificate of divorce that says to the world that she's no longer your wife, so she can be remarried. And in that culture, those were about the options that women had. So she can be remarried without shame. And then there's always, you ever get this stuff from some Christian, quote, leader? We're not going to get to Joshua today. I've gone on and on here, but we will tomorrow, I promise. You ever get advice or heard advice from somebody? You get this couple, they get a divorce, and she marries somebody else, and he marries somebody else. And then they come to the church, and then the elders, who are godly, say, you must go back to your first wife, or you must go back to your first husband. I want to say, what, are you crazy? You want to cause problems, I mean major, big-time problems, then you try to pull off something like that. And not only that, and this surprises people who don't know what the Bible has to say. The Bible clearly teaches, not only should you not do that for the problem's sake, you shouldn't do that because God says you shouldn't do that. All of this, by the way, is quite practical. It's God's safety valve. God knows that it's hard sometimes. And divorce is something God hates horribly. Somebody asked Ruth Graham if she believed in divorce. She said, no, but sometimes I do believe in murder. Well, Moses knew that, and he gave a certificate of divorce, a practical God for his people. You think about that? I'm in. Well, I told you at the beginning of the program I'd get to Joshua, and I didn't, but I will tomorrow, I promise. Hey, listen, if you don't have the little book with Christmas Meditations, I'd love to get it out to you. Give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Mainland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. This will help you get through Christmas and focus, and if you'll call right now or write right now, we'll try to get it back to you before Christmas, I can't promise. Oh, by the way, you could go to our webpage, www.keylife.org, and you could download it there if you want. But I think you'll find this really helpful. It is absolutely free, and I really mean that. But listen, that does not mean that I'll turn down a contribution, especially this time of year. But listen, those of you who have been called to give to this broadcast, can you give a little bit extra? I mean, that would mean so much. And I wish you guys would pray that. Now, all of this stuff is free, and I really mean it. I don't want you not getting it because you can't afford a contribution. But if you can, this would be a good time. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it, is my thank you. I'll give you the cassette teaching 5 facets of God's love. Gotta go. Be sure to include the call letters of this station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.